Tonight's the night we'll make history. As sure as dogs can fly, and I'll take any risk to tie back the hands of time and stay with you here tonight. So take your seats and don't be late. We need your spirits high to turn on these theater lights and brighten the darkest skies here at the Paradise.
For an album like Paradise Theater to happen, a lot of things gotta go right. You must have a dynamic vision. You need to have songs that have melody. They must be pretty, but they must also have some fire to them. You require lyrics that are memorable, but words that also set a mood and deliver imagery that's universal enough for everyone to clearly understand and want to be part of. You need a theme that can tie all of these ideas together in a way that only works in the context of a complete album that is equal parts of all of these things. Oh, you're also going to need members that agree on what they are doing. For Styx, Paradise Theater might be their most complete, perfect musical statement. By the time of their 10th album, Styx had been around for a while. They formed in Chicago in 1972 by twin brothers John and Chuck Panazzo with the neighborhood accordion player Dennis DeYoung. James J.Y. Young and John Kurowski joined, and the band played around the Midwest, establishing a decent fan base in the Chicagoland era. They released 5 albums to little success. An accidental hit came when the power ballad Lady from their 2nd album hit number 6 nationwide, and that was 2 years after its release. Guitarist Kurowski left suddenly in late 1975, right before the start of a tour. He was frantically replaced with Alabama guitarist Tommy Shaw. They continued with moderate success. Styx finally hit pay dirt with 1977's The Grand Illusion and a 4-album string of hits, each selling 4 million copies or more, began. Paradise Theater capped this remarkable run, and they were named the most popular rock band in the U.S. in the 1980 year-end Gallup poll. Prior to recording Paradise, the friction between DeYoung's more mainstream direction and Sean Young's harder rockin' vision eventually led to DeYoung's brief firing from the band that he had started. This is not the first time, nor would it be the last time this would happen. Paradise Theater succeeds due to this tension between all the players and became a lasting testament to their ability to briefly operate by consensus to build something far greater than any singular vision. It has all the sweet pop melodies, the bone-crushing guitar, the dynamics of a rhythm section that propulsively gives the music a danceable quality. Under a highly theatrical framework that is telling a uniquely American story based on the truths of the era its creators lived in. My name is Daniel G. Moyer. His name is Rich Larson. You're listening to The Weekly List on KYMN, 1080 AM and 95.1 FM. This is the Paradise Theater Show.
Well, good evening, everybody. You're listening to AM 1080 and FM 95.1 KYMN Radio in beautiful downtown Northfield, Minnesota, broadcasting to planet Earth on KYMNradio.net.
Wow. Hang on. Planet Earth?
Wasn't done yet. Thank you for joining us once again for another edition of The Weekly List. Planet Earth, Danny.
Planet Earth. Wow. So did you get the tower fixed or something? You boost it with like superpower?
The tower is going to get fixed. It's this little thing called the internet that reaches all over the place.
Oh, that's right. The interwebs.
If they, you could listen to us in Iran if they would let you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I listen to you guys' morning show while I'm sitting here working.
Right,
I love it.
Exactly. And we're...
Yeah, you and Ryan are awesome.
We're far, far away from you.
You know, exactly. But you know what? And there's no tariffs on listening to KYMN.
Not yet. Anything's possible.
Free, man.
Anything's possible. Going to be a hefty tax on my FCC license, I'm sure.
Oh, jeez. But, okay, so, yeah, we're talking about Styx's Paradise Theater tonight, and this is truly one of my favorites, and this is an album that I've had on vinyl. Oh, I didn't have a whole lot of money when it came out in like 1980. I got it from the RCA Music Service because I've got I've got a vinyl copy that has the order number on it.
That's hilarious. Kind of fun.
But it was not part of the 3-for-a-penny thing. I had been a member for a while.
Okay.
So, right. But anyhow, Yeah, you know, this album really tells an entire theme. And the first songs that we heard was the first one was called AD 1928, and then it was Rockin' the Paradise. And there's a couple things that I think are really kind of unique and funny in the lyrics that obviously that's the melody that everybody knows from the best of times. And this album, in my mind, plays out like a theatrical piece. It's a real musical. And the lyrics have meanings, and it revisits that musical theme of best of times a number of times throughout the record. And that line of sure as dogs can fly, at the very end of the album, this album starts in 1928 when they built the Paradise Theater, which is a real place in Chicago, and it was designed to be there forever. But what happened in 1929 was the great stock market crash and Great Depression. And so everything just kind of faded away and it fell on hard times and was closed in by 1958 at about the end of the album and was eventually demolished. And what was clever about this is on the back, on the cover of the album, it has grand opening, and on the back, it's got the same painting, but it says temporarily closed and it's in shambles. And if you look very carefully, on one of the on the temporary close, the ending of it, there is a poster for the last act that ever played at the Paradise Theater, and it was the Flying Dog Sparky. And so that was the kind of, it started out with big grand things, and it ended the last act that was playing there was like a comical flying dog, like a dog act. And so that's where the flying dog came from. And then right before the guitar solo in Rockin' the Paradise, Dennis DeYoung shouts out, "Go, Sparky, go," which is the name of the dog.
Interesting.
And I get a kick out of that.
Yeah. Okay. I
Well,
have heard this album, the Paradise Theater album, four times my entire life.
are you
Three
kidding me?
of them were today.
You've got to be kidding me,
No,
Rich.
no, no. Beginning to end? Yeah.
Okay.
I got nothing against this album. It's just that, Styx isn't real high on my radar, that's all.
Sure. Well, they're definitely a meat and potatoes rock band from the Midwest. I mean, they're like a classic. And
There are Styx songs that I absolutely love. I mean, I love "Come Sail Away." Love "Come Sail Away." But by and large, most Styx is a little proggy for me.
yeah, they originally kind of started out like that, and some of the elements are still there. They've certainly reduced that as their hit making started coming along. And one of the frictions that with this band is the album right before Paradise Theater was Cornerstone. And it has a song written by Dennis DeYoung called Babe that is really it's kind of schlocky in some ways. It's a little saccharine. And Tommy Shaw hates it. And in kind of a really, he Dennis DeYoung wrote it for his wife, Suzanne, because he missed her. And I think that that's a noble sentiment. And I think Tommy Shaw has really kind of been a little brat-like about that song. And when he was with Damn Yankees, he used to openly mock it, and Ted Nugent as well. And that really kind of cheesed me off quite a bit because it was an honest, sentimental thing. And when Paradise Theater was first being recorded, he was, I guess Dennis DeYoung wanted to release a song called First Time off of Cornerstone. And Tommy Shaw pitched a wobbler, and he and Dennis or James Young fired Dennis DeYoung. And the record company kind of responded and said, you're going to have DeYoung back in this band, or you don't have a band, really. So that's kind of what that. So it was built under tension, but everybody bought into the concept, and they all did work together. And I love how it's sequenced because it really does tell a story of time about the United States. And so if it starts out with this optimistic rock in the paradise, everything's going, and then right immediately afterwards, you've got the Great Depression, October 1929, when the stock market crashed and people lost their jobs and unemployment. So the first song after that moment is Tommy Shaw's Too Much Time on My Hands, which was really the case for a lot of people in America at that time. They were unemployed, didn't have a whole lot of anything, but they had a lot of time on their hands. And Too Much Time on My Hands was one of the big singles from this, and it hit number 9 as a pop single, and it to this day remains Tommy Shaw's biggest hit song in his career, Too Much Time on My Hands.
All right. So, from, I got nothing else to add.
This is gonna, you've only heard it 4 times. I still am shocked by this.
I fall squarely in the Tommy Shaw camp when Tommy Shaw versus Dennis DeYoung. I think Dennis DeYoung, Babe's a fine song, and it was probably a different direction than Styx had ever gone before. It's also a little bit of a lyrical rehash of Lady, but that's a whole different kind of
thing. Oh yeah, it is.
But it probably came as a bit of a shock to Tommy Shaw and James Young. Like, we don't want to go that direction. We don't want to be some wussy ass, you know, Air Supply type band. And
hey, don't rip on Air Supply, man.
Some wussy ass Air Supply type band.
Oh,
and
man.
And so what are you doing? And Dennis DeYoung is a smart man. He's a very smart man. He is manipulative. He's not always the most honest guy on the face of the earth. He's far too polished with the media for my taste. And I really like The Best of Times. And I really like Come Sail Away. I guess I like Don't Let It End. That's about it when it comes to songs written by Dennis DeYoung.
Okay. Well, we're going to give everybody else a chance. Listen to the album as you're going through.
Oh,
we'll
sure.
Interject
yeah.
a few comments.
Yeah.
So coming up next here is, this is Too Much Time on My Hands. You're listening to The Weekly List, the Styx Paradise Theater Show on KYMN 95.1 FM, The One.
This is a good song.
We'll be right back.
sun goes down tonight. You hit the same old clubs, rap that same old trash, that's right. You got them real silk shirts and them baggy pants, bagel shoes and the colors that match. But the girls are acting bored and you're feeling like you're going to lose. You got the GQ blues. You get up every morning and you go to work each day. And Mother Nature's blues. Mother Nature's blues.
That was Nothing Ever Goes as Planned by Styx. You are listening to the Paradise Theater album show here on the Weekly List. So, Rich, that was what, the fourth time you ever heard that song?
Probably, yeah, fourth or fifth. I've heard, no, that was number five, yes.
Oh, okay. Here's the thing. I'm, unlike Rich, I actually really do love this album, and I play it a lot.
I'm very familiar. Don't misunderstand me here. I got nothing against this album. Whose idea was it to do this show?
It was your idea to do it. But I thought that you heard it a bunch. I thought it was relatively familiar to you.
It's a relatively... We're doing the show because today is the anniversary of it hitting number one in 1981. It's a relatively significant show. And frankly, I decided to ask if you wanted to do this show so you didn't come to me later and say, let's do Kilroy Was Here.
I would never do Kilroy.
Or, you know, let's do Pieces of Eight or let's do The Grand Illusion.
This would be the one that I would pick because I would never do Kilroy.
Right.
Not ever.
Can we talk about, can we just talk about Kilroy Was Here for about 5 minutes?
Sure.
Okay. All right. It started with, as I understand it, Paradise Theater in that there was a theatrical element presented with the live show from this.
Yes,
and
there was.
I actually went back and watched, you can find a full concert from the Paradise Theater tour on YouTube. And yes. I went back and watched a little bit of it. And it started with Paradise Theater. Then the next album was Kilroy Was Here, which was a massive hit. Although Kilroy Was Here, of the five albums that were like massive hits for Styx, Kilroy Was Here is the least selling.
Like it was.
Those other four, they're triple platinum albums. Kilroy Was Here sold as a platinum album.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I was at the Kilroy Was Here show. It was in May of 1983.
Yeah.
And they played the St. Paul Civic Center. And exactly one month later, I saw Journey on the Frontiers tour.
Okay. So.
And I will tell you that Kilroy sunk the band as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
And I did not like Kilroy Was Here when it first came out. Right. I grudgingly like it now. But so.
Yeah.
And really, because of the overall success of Paradise Theater, that gave Dennis DeYoung a little bit more cachet with the band, and they decided to go along with him. And Kilroy was just... It started with an 11-minute film and then had dialogue between all of the characters and songs about robots.
It's a rock opera, as I understand. The thing is that they were booked to play the Texas,
Texas. Booed off the stage.
Exactly. And like that audience wasn't having any of this. And that was what ended that version of the band.
Yeah.
That was it.
You know, and both Tommy Shaw and Dennis DeYoung went on to have moderate solo careers. Dennis DeYoung had a big hit with Desert Moon.
One
Tommy Shaw.
Hit.
Yeah, that was about it. Yeah. And that's probably about as much as it should have been.
Yeah.
Tommy Shaw had Girls with Guns that didn't really do anything.
I always liked the song Girls with Guns.
I loved them all.
I bought that stuff. I'm just really bothered by the fact that he decided to form a band with Ted Nugent.
Yeah, you know. Well, Jack Blades and Tommy Shaw were really good together.
Right.
There's a wonderful album called Shaw Blades.
Okay.
Unreal.
I saw Dennis DeYoung in a touring production of Jesus Christ Superstar.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis DeYoung played Pontius Pilate. Irene Cara, by the way, played Mary Magdalene.
Okay.
And he was an overacting boar. Anyway,
I saw him play with a symphony, the St. Paul Symphony, I think, at the Orpheum, and I actually enjoyed that. It worked. This music worked really well with an orchestral.
It doesn't thing surprise me.
Yeah, no. I mean, he's. It's weird to think of Dennis DeYoung and Tommy Shaw in the same room, and realistically, and I'm not going to be comparing this, but a lot of the really good bands have that fire and ice kind of thing. I mean, the Beatles contain both Paul McCartney and John Lennon.
Yeah.
And I think that they're much closer than anything. Tommy Shaw, I think he got into this band because they were in a desperate pinch.
Mm-hmm.
And he came with a song called Crystal Ball that formed the album that came after, you know, the first album that had him. And Crystal Ball is a great song. I mean, that is just a beautiful song. So, you know, it's kind of one of those things, just by fates, they put them together in the same thing. I think it's incredible that all five members were able to hold it together in order to make Paradise Theater. Mm-hmm. I really am impressed by that.
Yeah,
it does satisfy a lot of things in it.
It's probably their creative peak.
I definitely think that it was. And like I said in the intro, I mean, you've got this real kind of pretty melodies and imagery and ideas that Dennis DeYoung brings. But then you've also got James Young and Tommy Shaw trading off guitars and really some really hard rocking stuff that we'll hear later on in the record that I think is fantastic.
It constantly amazes me that James Young has stayed in this band because that guy belongs in a metal band.
He does.
You know, he's a metal
guitar
player.
He's been there from the very first.
Right. Yeah. Which of course, I mean, his presence adds a layer it adds a layer that you don't get in a lot of places. I mean, you've got the Neil Diamond, the poor man's Neil Diamond, showmanship, but then you've also got Tommy Shaw, who is just a straight on rock and roll guitar guy, and then you add James Young, who's really a metal guy, and it does create for an interesting sound.
It does.
But there's no way that could have worked for more than
right.
It almost shouldn't have worked as long as it did.
No, but you know, I think it's funny how really at the time, all of them bought into the same thing. They really did.
Yeah. Well, on this album, they did. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they did on Kilroy, too, as well, because there's a great live concert video of that. And, man, JY and Tommy, they were full on with that. It's revisionist history for them to say some of the stuff that they've said, and it really is.
They didn't like getting booed off the stage in Texas, that's for sure.
No, they didn't. And who would?
No.
Who would?
No.
But anyhow, nothing ever goes as planned. I think that it's a minor song in my mind. I really like the keyboard part that breaks into that. And it's a lot about disappointment. You know, and if you think about it in a historical context, all of the dreams that you had planned in the roaring 20s, having it all fall apart. You know, I think that this is kind of like the center point of the Great Depression era on this album historically.
Right.
And a lot of the things that happen with that. You go into World War II. In American history, and from there.
So, moving on, then we come to the Best of Times, which is the massive single from this album.
It is, and you know, it was not a number one hit.
No,
as much as people would think it would have been, but it's not.
Sticks never had a number one, did they?
Yeah, Babe hit number one. It's their only one number one song.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yep, number one on all the pop charts.
Right.
And it wasn't just in the United States. It was a lot of places.
Okay. Anyway.
So, but the Best of Times, that's the real theme of this record. And you hear that, the full-on melody from the very intro to the album.
Mm-hmm.
It's fully realized. And the background vocals by Tommy Shaw and James Young, everybody coming together to really form what sounds to like a classic single.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was in junior high, this was played everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you didn't go to a junior high dance without hearing this song.
No, this was a big, big song in 1981. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. So, from the Paradise Theater album, this is The Best of Times by Styx. You're listening to Daniel G. Moyer's Weekly List on 95.1 KYMN Radio. The one.
Tonight's the night we'll make history. Honey, you and I. 'Cause I'll take any risk to tie back the hands of time and stay with you here tonight. Are the worst of I do believe it's true. When people lock their doors and hide inside, rumor has it it's the end of paradise. But I know if the world just passed us by, baby, I know. Red, these are the worst of times. I do believe it's true. I feel so helpless, like a boat against the tide. I wish the summer wind could bring back paradise, but I know.
Hey, peaking as high as number 3 on the Billboard Hot 100 of its time, that was The Best of Times, and that was written solely by Dennis DeYoung and was the lead-off single for this album. It also ends side one of the record.
Right. One of my criticisms about this album, and I don't have a lot. I mean, it's a fine album. I don't mind. I kind of like the idea of coming back to a theme, having a theme on the record and coming back to it, right? I just played Dreamboat Annie on Midnight Albums a couple days ago, and there's that theme in there. And my criticism is that Dennis DeYoung, though, made the mistake of not changing the lyrics of the first verse hardly at all from AD 1928 to The Best of Times. And there's the As Sure as Dogs Can Fly, but he needed to be a little more creative.
But at the same time, though, in AD 1928, so take your seats and don't be late. We need your spirits high to turn down these theater lights and brighten the darkest
right,
skies.
Right. Read the first verse, though.
Yeah, the first words are, yeah, tonight's the night, we'll make history, sure as dogs can fly. I'll take any risk that to risk the back hands of time.
Yes.
And I'll stay with you here tonight.
Right.
It sounds like the beginning of a play.
Right. That's fine. But then he basically used the same first four lines of the Best of Times. And I think they're basically the first four lines of AD 1958 also. All I'm saying is it doesn't work. The theme doesn't work for me unless you really work on the words.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm going to just flatly disagree with you on that. Well, but that's okay.
That's personal. That's just personal opinion.
Yeah. They serve different purposes in context of the record.
Sure.
They just do.
Right.
And Best of Times is it's the thing that I like about Best of Times is you can take it in the context of the album. And it works in the context of the album, or you can also separate it out as a single, which is what a lot of people really did with it.
Yep.
And that's where it stands alone on its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these other songs, like Nothing Ever Goes As Planned, was also released as a single.
Yeah.
And it didn't chart nearly as high. I think it went, Nothing Ever Goes As, went to number 54 on the U.S. pop chart. And Rock in the Paradise went to number 8 on top rock charts.
Yeah.
So, you know, those songs I don't think work as well outside of the context of the album mm-hmm. as Best of Times does. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
So.
What do you got on Lonely People?
Okay. There was a critic that I was reading, and they wrote that it's, to them, they saw it as a contemporary rewrite of the Beatles' Eleanor Rigby,
mm-hmm.
Which I thought kind of works. It's at this point in the story of the theater, it starts the second album, and you understand that real troubled times have now started to hit. World War II might be going on, and it starts with this dialogue that's in the rain. You hear sounds from the theater and somebody just banging on the door telling them to be quiet.
Yeah.
And there's neglect, there's loneliness, there's all of this stuff. And then there's the man early in the sounding of the song, he's talking to somebody else on the street saying, I can't wait till they tear that GD theater down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, should I call the cops and all that kind of stuff. And it feels, you know, do you remember the State Theater in Minneapolis sometime in like about the mid or late 80s? It was just a dialect bombed out place.
When it was the Church of the Jesus People.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I walked in there one time and it was just trashed out. Always yeah. made me think of Paradise Theater at the beginning of Side 2 with
sure.
all of that kind of crap going on. And Blocky was terrible. You had Moby Dick's there.
Yeah.
And I thought all that stuff was great. You know, and Shinders
yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah, Shinders there. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was a different kind of world.
Yeah, totally. There's a theater in Faribault called the Paradise Center for the Arts that is actually I think it's named after the Paradise Theater from Chicago. But
really,
these are completely different because the interior theater looks a little bit like the old Paradise Theater too. Have you ever seen pictures of the Paradise Theater, the actual Paradise Theater in Chicago?
No, just other than the paintings and sketches.
It is opulent. I mean, it is ornate, and it was huge. It was enormous.
Yeah.
And it was a movie theater, and it was really just one theater, and it was built, it had a pipe organ in it that had like 5 keyboards on it and had like 24 horn or 24 pipes. And it was built for silent movies. Right. And when things moved to, you know, talkies, right. There was a domed, ceiling on the Paradise Theater that made for terrible acoustics.
Oh, really?
And so once they were, you know, showing movies that actually where people were actually talking, you couldn't hear them or you couldn't understand what
really?
They were saying because it bounced all over the place. And that's really what killed the Paradise Theater.
Huh.
But it was a beautiful, beautiful building. But
changing times.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Technology.
Right.
Okay, so with that in mind, we're going to start side two of Paradise Theater. And we're going to play a song called Lonely People, and it's going to go into She Cares. And we'll see you on the other side of that.
You're listening to
You're
the,
listening
weekly,
to the
list.
Weekly List on KYMN 95.1 The One.
Paradise and me.
That was She Cares, sung by Tommy Shaw on the Paradise Theater album, our focus of tonight's show.
Danny, there are a couple of songs. I think She Cares is one of them. A couple of songs that feature a saxophone, and there's some mm-hmm. horn. Who plays the saxophone? Because it's actually pretty good work.
Yeah, let's see. They had a whole section called the Hang-A-Later Horn section.
Okay.
I mean, let's see. The original sax was played. I want to say it was a guy named Bill Simpson.
Okay.
But I'm not 100% sure of that. I mean, and they had the Hang-A-Later Horn section on a number of things.
Okay.
That Styx had done. I got a kind of kick out of a horn section called that.
Yeah, the Hang-A-Later. Yeah, absolutely.
The Hang-A-Later.
Yeah. All right.
Now, the thing, Tommy Shaw, he is a hard rocking guy, but She Cares is about as sweet and melodic a little pop song as you're ever going to get.
That's a straight up early 80s pop song, is what.
Yeah, that
is.
Absolutely, yeah. Is. There's nothing hard edged about that. And that's kind of where I look at Tommy Shaw. And as much as I love the guy, and I do, and I've seen him play a number of times, this is where some of his stuff kind of hangs false, because if he rips into Babe and all of the ballads of Dennis DeYoung, I mean, he's got She Cares.
That's not a schmaltzy, sappy.
I wouldn't call it a hard rock and blaster.
No, I wouldn't either. But I mean, Dennis DeYoung deals in syrup. All right, Tommy Shaw does not.
I will give that. Dennis DeYoung is melodramatic. I'll give him that. Overly theatrical.
That's a massive criticism for a lot of people. I mean, because it comes off as disingenuous.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess I don't. It
absolutely does, because there's one thing about when someone is playing you a song and they're super into it and they love it and it's entertaining, right? It's another thing when someone else is trying to entertain you. It's in baseball terms, it's like it's the difference between aiming your pitch and trusting your stuff.
Huh. I guess I don't have a problem with that. I think that there's nothing wrong with trying to entertain people.
No, but it's the way you go about it, and when it comes off as disingenuous,
I don't think it is disingenuous.
Well, to me, it comes off that way.
Okay.
And I have a hard time trusting it.
Okay. It's your ever-present thing on pop music. Yeah. You just don't trust it. And yeah. I get that.
But that's a really good song. It's a hell of a lot better than Babe.
I will agree with you on that. Right. Babe, it's got its own thing. And I mean, I'm sure that Babe will never be played on this show because it's, you know, for whatever reason. And that's fine. I'm fine.
I'm not banning Babe from this show, because if we ever get, you know, if we ever decide to do the disingenuous syrup show, I mean, it belongs there perfectly.
Wow. Okay. So let that go.
Okay. All right.
We should take a moment to talk about some of our sponsors here.
Yeah. Let's go ask Vicky Scout what Styx albums she's got in stock.
Verbena Vinyl is your local record store. Located in the heart of Northfield, Minnesota, Verbena Vinyl is independently owned and operated. Shop for new, used, and vintage records at 419 Division Street or online at verbenavinyl.com. Become a part of the Verbena Vinyl community by following at Verbena Vinyl on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. verbenavinyl.com. Time now for the Weekly List Haiku Corner, brought to you by Imminent Brewing, a truly poetic brewery. Here is your host, Haiku Rich.
You know, Danny, it occurs to me that my insistence on doing Haiku Corner with every show could be like the Dennis DeYoung move. If this show I am 100% open to retiring Haiku Corner at some point. I really am. I'm not gonna break up the band over Haiku Corner. So
It's your Dennis DeYoung slash Michael Scott moment.
Yeah. Well, oh God, Michael Scott. Wow. Okay. Here we go.
Okay.
It was a real place. The Paradise Theater. Not in Faribault. Well, Dennis DeYoung, Styx is a rock and roll band, not an acting troupe.
Oh,
and this one, we're going to talk about this in a minute, but we haven't touched on this yet. So it's going to, let's just remember this name, folks, and we'll call this foreshadowing. Okay.
Okay. Oh.
Saw Lawrence Gowan. Yep. In 1985. The guy blew my mind.
My, what a delight. This has been Haiku Corner. Thank you, Eminent.
And now, folks, it's when we like to take a little time and thank our founding sponsors, Eminent Brewing, Lauren Derek Myers, the co-founders and owners of Eminent Brewing. Just, you know, amazing people, people I love and adore. And, the people who bring you not just Northfield's living room, but Danny.
Yeah.
It's going to be patio season before you know it.
Well, hopefully.
I mean,
it's like cold and wet and
it's snowing.
The home opener is today.
Right.
I just hope nobody gets hurt.
The Twins are going into the opener. They're riding a 2-game winning streak, though. Woohoo!
You know, moreover than that, at the end of Wednesday night going into this, we're tied for first place in the AL Central. It's a 5-way tie.
Everybody's all teams 2-4?
2-4. All 5 teams in the AL Central are 2-4.
Joe Ryan, we are counting on you to push us over the hump, baby.
I'm like, you know, when we lost the first 4, and I'm like, that's it. The season's over.
It's going to be a long bleeping year, yeah.
And we're in first place. It's a 5-way tie, which I've never seen. But, well, you know.
That's why April ball is so much fun.
Goofy.
It's anything can happen day, every day of the week. All right. So,
yeah, so anyhow, yeah, we're going into this in first place.
All right. So here's what's coming up at Eminent Brewing. On Friday.
Tomorrow.
Friday? No, Saturday. On Saturday. One of the great local Northfield bands, No Time for Fame, is playing. These guys are super fun. They're a really good band. They play about 4 times a year because they all have like high powered day jobs.
Sure.
And so literally they have no time to be rock stars. They have no time for fame, but they're a really good band.
That's fantastic. You know, it's always good if you got a crew that just likes to play and plays for the fun of it.
Do what you want with this name.
Uh-oh.
But I'm sorry for even laughing right now, but the food truck this week is La Cucinita.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
La Cucinita.
That's the food truck.
I'm not familiar with that one.
Uh-huh. And then that's the food truck on Saturday. The food truck tomorrow is the Thai Thai street food truck. And then on Sunday, it's Deep Roots, which is the Northern Minnesota Fair.
Cool.
Nice
little bit of variety there.
Lot going on next weekend. We'll talk about that next week, though. What's on tap, Rich? Well, let me tell you, Rich. Gateway Cream Ale, Sixth Street Wit, Haywood Hellas, Prancing Pony New Zealand Pilsner.
Okay. Is that something new?
Prancing Pony. It sounds a little bit like, what's her name? Pink Pony Club Girl.
Yeah. Chaperone,
right. Dragon Squirrel Juicy IPA. Fred the Beer Hazy IPA. Cannon River Pale Ale. Guard Down IPA, 916 West Coast IPA, Freya's Oatmeal Stout, the Mole Porter, the Eastern Block Baltic Porter, the Via Candias Sour, and a seltzer. Yeah, Rico's Brown Ale is gone. It's over. It was a nice run.
916. Is that a Green Day reference?
No, I guarantee you.
916 Gilman Street was a pretty big hangout in the Oakland West Coast punk scene.
I guarantee.
Home to Green Day.
I guarantee you it's not a it's not a Green Day reference.
I would put
lots of money on that. All right. Wednesday, they're open from 4 to 9 p.m. Thursdays, Imminent Brewing is open from 4 to 9 p.m. Fridays, 4 to 10 p.m. Saturdays, 1 to 10 p.m. And Sundays, 2 to 8 p.m. If you have any other questions, if you need more information, visit imminentbrewing.com. All right. So now we come to Snowblind. And
yeah,
this is not a cover of the Genesis song that was recorded 2 years earlier.
No, it is not.
No. It's a good song, though.
What? Go ahead.
It's a good song. It's probably James Young wrote this song, right?
Yes, with Dennis DeYoung.
Interesting.
It's James Young, Dennis DeYoung. They wrote it together, and this actually was a single. It reached number 22 on the mainstream rock tracks chart.
It's a good song.
And it's all about cocaine addiction. And musically, it references that because you've got this slow dirge section mm-hmm. that is sung by James Young. Mm-hmm. And then the kind of more energetic parts are sung by Tommy Shaw. And it's really meant to be a switching back and forth of the highs and lows of drug addiction and cocaine.
Wow. I didn't know
that. I like how that works.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah. There was a lot of controversy over this, and I remember it when I was a kid, especially in junior high and high school, where there are a bunch of fundamentalist people, and I think it started in like Arkansas, where they said that there was backwards masking that was put on this. and they said that the song's lyric were... anti-rock music activists during the early 1980s called the song's lyrics were satanistic and contained hidden backwards messages. And apparently they thought the line, "I try so hard to make it so," sounded weird, that when they took their vinyl record and played it backwards, mm-hmm. it said, "Satan moves through our voices." And
wow. This was,
and I'll tell you, I've got it on vinyl, and I'm sitting here on that track. I tried to play it backwards a number of times. It does not contain any of that. Styx took powerful offense on that.
Yeah, I would think so.
And it was because of all of that kind of stuff directly that led to the creation of Kilroy Was Here.
Interesting.
And it's funny because on the beginning of side two of Kilroy Was Here, the song Heavy Metal Poisoning, which is sung by James Young, there actually is a backwards recorded message that they play before. And it just, that stuff is flat out hilarious. And
that's right.
There was
roll, baby.
A group of preachers from Minneapolis called the Peters Brothers that used to protest and that would go in front of concerts with their big signs.
I remember the Peters Brothers.
Yeah. I remember when I was in high school, they came to one of the small towns that was in the area.
Yeah.
And I went to that rally along with my brother Nate, and we sat. We sat way in the back, which is where all the rockers were hanging there. And I got into a shouted verbal argument with Dan Peters, I think, who was on the stage. Wow. And I remember that because the next day, my English teacher Sandy Alstead was there, and she gave me a lot of high praise for going and getting into an argument with them. And it's like, the important thing about this is your First Amendment rights and freedom of speech. And what they were trying to do with the Peters Brothers and the anti-rock fundamentalist people were really trying to shut down the free speech that's in rock and roll. And I won't have that part of that for anything.
I hope you're most furious about. I hope you're sharpening your talons these days.
Yeah, you know, I censorship, and you know, you've got a group of people out there right now that are saying their own stuff, and I view a lot of it as hateful and wrong. But hey, man, you got your own right to go and say whatever the hell you want. Yep. Let your craziness go.
Right.
I'll support your right to say it within boundaries, but you know, don't get in mine either. Yeah,
but your personal rights end where my personal rights begin.
So, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And it's amazing that there is all this controversy about this. Right. So what's your take on it all?
I think it's, I look back at it now and I think it's quaint.
It is. It is kind of quaint.
Yeah. It's sort of a little bit like some of the things you see today. Like, you know, back then in the 80s, when you had these preachers, like, remember they went after Ozzy Osbourne and they went after Judas Priest, right? And there was the one guy who like put on a little performance in the courtroom where he was acting out the messages that they were, you know, and you know, basically they were saying, we want things to be the way they were 20, 30 years ago. And, right. And when people today say we want our country back, they're saying, well, we want things the way they were 50, 60 years ago. So,
yeah. And what are you talking about? Exactly. I mean, that kind of stuff, that's not progress. And that's not what America is founded on.
Not even close. All right.
You know, and what I take on this is, and I'm going to read you a quote by Dennis DeYoung on this song, because he's one of the writers. And mm-hmm. This is, I thought was pretty good, but, let's see. Styx dismissed all these claims and stuff like that. Dennis DeYoung said, anyone who plays their records backwards is the Antichrist. We have enough trouble making these records sound right going forward. People have nothing better to do. It's the name Styx, which means the river and the underground. Can you imagine attacking the guys who made Babe? I mean, please. You know? And it was fundamentalist Christian groups, which are those are the people that I dislike the most. Mm-hmm. And I consider myself a fairly devout Christian, but these people are not Christian. They are doing actual evil in my mind. I'm off the soapbox.
So there, let's go to Snowblind.
Okay. Good song about a tough subject. Has nothing to do with Satan.
KYMN broadcasting to planet Earth and the Styx, River Styx underworld. 95.1 FM, AM 1080, and KYMNradio.net.
Mirror, mirror on the wall, the face you show me scares me so. Thought that I could call your bluff, but now lands are clear enough. Life's not pretty, even though I try so hard to make it so. Mornings are such cold distress. How did I ever?
can't escape this emptiness. No more reasons to pretend. Here comes that same old.
That was Snowblind from Styx's Paradise Theater album, and we're moving into the final little bit here.
Yep. Now
I think we beat Snowblind to death on that last one.
Before we go any further, there seems to be this presumptive idea in your mind that I don't like Styx.
Yeah, I just don't think. Well, I don't know that you know.
I don't actively dislike Styx. I don't.
Okay.
Like I said earlier, there are some Styx songs I really, really like. There are some Styx songs that leave me cold. And Dennis DeYoung bugs the crap out of me. That's
sure.
It. I would be far more interested, frankly, to go see Styx now than I would have been in 1983. Because in 1985, I went to see Tears for Fears at the Orpheum Theater, and Danny, who was the opening act that night?
Lawrence Gowan
was the opening act, and Lawrence Gowan, to this day, is one of the best opening acts I've ever seen. He was phenomenal, man. He was great. And does he still jump off the piano?
No.
That's good, because he's like 60-something years old now, or maybe even 70.
I've seen him play with Styx a couple of times. Let's see, I think I saw them last at the State Fair. It was with REO Speedwagon.
Yeah.
And Styx was good. Honestly, I think REO Speedwagon blew him off the stage. And
sure.
Lawrence Gowan, he was okay. I don't think his voice was nearly as strong, and those songs were not the focal point. Tommy Shaw really leads Styx now.
Mm-hmm.
He is now the Dennis DeYoung of Styx. He controls everything. So it's no longer a band in my mind. It's Tommy Shaw and Assorted Friends and James Young along for the ride.
Is there a Panazzo left in that band?
No.
No.
John Panazzo died when Styx reunited in '96, and Chuck Panazzo is there. He plays like maybe two or three songs. He's still, you know, he's there almost as a token, I guess, is the nice way to put it. Mm-hmm. He's been dealing with HIV and AIDS for a number of years.
I did not know that.
And so, and there's a song that Tommy Shaw wrote on the Return to Paradise album, which was a live album on the reunion, called Dear John. That is really a beautiful song, and it's about how Tommy Shaw misses John Panazzo. And mm-hmm. so it's got some of those aspects, but Styx now in 2025 is a completely different creature than it ever was 50 years ago.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Right. Lawrence Gowan is not a standout when I've seen them.
Well, Dennis DeYoung, the one thing I'll say about Dennis DeYoung is he had, because I'm pretty sure it's gone now, but he had a voice that was God-given. I mean,
it was. It was a distinct, distinct voice.
There's a lot of power, a lot of range. He was really good. He was a great singer. All right, but I don't dislike Styx. I don't.
No. That's okay. You just. I can't imagine you sitting around and spinning a whole lot of Styx records in your youth or now.
No, you know, whatever.
You would turn up the radio when Come Sail Away came on. Maybe Lorelei, I'll give you that.
Sailing Away. Yeah. It's a good song. Okay.
Yeah, anyway. It's a good song.
Yeah.
And they started out as one of those prog rock things and started to figure out top 40. And, you know, because of Snowblind, that was the whole basis of the album Kilroy Was Here. And at that point, so much effort was put on Dennis DeYoung that he really carried the band. And he was the one that had the ideas and the hits. And, you know, and unfortunately, Kilroy Was Here was just not a very good album. Nope. I think that it was out of sequence. But Paradise Theater is where they were most fully realized. And like any good things, sometimes you hit that and that's all you get. And it's a miracle that it happened in the first place.
And lest you think that I just hate and dismiss all pop music or Dennis DeYoung songs, I really like Don't Let It End.
Yeah.
I really do. Which I kind of hope you don't. Because that,
I really don't. I don't think that that's one of the strongest songs, honestly.
I love that.
I really don't. I like the kitsch of Mr. Roboto.
Yeah. I mean, you know what I like about Mr. Roboto was that there was like a Volkswagen ad that had like 15 years ago. The guys sitting in the car singing Mr. Roboto were far more entertaining than anything else I've ever seen.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah.
You know, and I get kind of a kick out of all of the collective hatred that Young and Shaw have for Kilroy Was Here. And then they did a record day release a couple of years ago that I had to pick up. It was a live EP, and it was them doing Mr. Roboto due to fan requests.
No kidding.
And so, yeah, Dennis DeYoung is nowhere near it. But Shaw and Young have resurrected Mr. Roboto as part of their thing. So that's also where some of their supposed hatred of Kilroy Was Here seems a bit ingenuous.
Disingenuous?
Disingenuous.
Yeah. Secret, I got a secret. Okay.
Yeah, it could have been worse. They could have gone with, you know, the last song that they ever did is Styx.
Everybody, it's music time. Yes.
Yeah, now that one I've always hated.
That's a terrible song.
They've had their moments, and then they've had that.
Yeah.
And the last part, you want to say your stuff about the show?
No. I was just going to say that remember, like, at that point, we all thought Tommy Shaw was leaving the band. And
yeah,
that Dennis DeYoung was gonna push him out. Yeah. Anyway,
the video, it shows Tommy Shaw with an umbrella and waving to everybody else. It was
exactly
a goofy video.
It was a weird video. Anyway, okay, so folks, it's gonna just about do it for this here edition of the Weekly List. If you like the show, if you like the show,
hope
blah
you've
blah
enjoyed
blah,
the
blah.
Scrimmage.
Yeah. KYMNradio.net program page, Facebook, Instagram, the_weekly_list. Okay. So, Danny, take us home.
Okay. So, the last three songs, really, they all flow together in such a way that they really have to be played together. They can't really be separated. It starts with Halfpenny, Twopenny, and now we're at the point where it's sung by James Young. And it's written by him as well. And it's kind of about the disillusionment that happened in America, because it's now like 1958. The country has come out of World War II only to go into the Korean War afterwards. And the Paradise Theater itself has fallen on hard times. You know, Rich, you were talking about how the way that it was designed, it was just not working for film,
right,
and all that kind of stuff with the dome ceiling. And so this is all about kind of, in my mind, how we got to today. There's a lot about materialism and coming back from war and everything just kind of closing and breaking down. And then it goes into the reprise of the Best of Times part, now with different lyrics that kind of close the album. It's time to say goodbye, say goodnight. And that's called AD 1958, and it represents the closing of the album. And then there's about a 27-second instrumental where it's kind of almost a little bit of melancholy ragtime piano, and that's called State Street Sadie.
Yep.
And State Street is a, I guess, the street corner where all of this stuff went down with the, you know, it's a very famous street in Chicago.
Yep.
Very, very, very definitely famous. A Chicago band.
State Street, Rush Street, two most famous streets in, I suppose, Michigan Avenue. Most famous streets.
Miracle Mile area.
Yeah.
Chicago, I don't like Chicago.
I know you don't.
I've had bad luck with cars
I know,
in Chicago.
I know you don't. I love Chicago. But that's because I think mostly because I've learned how to ride the L. But anyway.
So that's going to wrap it up for us, and we're going to go into Halfpenny Twopenny and the closing. And one of the things I think is really striking is at the end of like the song proper, it goes into this saxophone break, and the theatrical of the music sounds, the stateliness of it moving into its end and into the AD 1958 section, I think is really remarkable. And when they played it live on the Paradise Theater, there were literally curtains that would close, and you would see the band play in silhouette, at least on some of the reunion tour. And it was very stirring. And I love the melody where it goes from the guitar parts into the piano to kind of finish out.
Yeah, the transition between Halfpenny Twopenny and AD 1958 it's really well done. And I mean, that's where you know, they remind you, wow, this is a band of really gifted musicians.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think for me, that's one of the finest musical moments on it. Well, for certain of this album, but maybe of the entire Styx career.
I'm not going to go.
There's like this 3-minute section that is just absolutely brilliant and breathtaking.
Yep. I'm not going to argue with that. Okay. Well, Danny, this was fun. Despite what you think, I had fun doing this show.
That's good, man.
All right.
It's fun always sparring with you on this kind of stuff and being a little bit surprised after all the years that you and I have hung.
Folks, you should have been listening to us or texting with us about a week ago when Danny suddenly came to the realization that I'm not a headbanger. 37 years. 37 years we've known each other. What have I ever said to you that would make you think that I'm a massive metalhead? What would ever?
That's right. That whole thing, yeah.
Yeah. I'd still get a kick.
You know, you want Judas Priest in the Hall of Fame. You know, I'm like, oh, man.
Well, I mean, I recognize decent music as it is, but I don't think the particular band that you want to do a show about, I don't think I have anything to do with that.
I'm still floored by all this.
If I were to participate in that band, it would be detrimental to, or in that show, it would be detrimental to the show. It would.
Oh, man.
So you've got plenty of
friends. When are you going on vacation next?
I'll give you a week whenever you want it, Buster. Absolutely. All right. Love you, Danny.
Love you, too. See you, everybody.
Folks, we'll talk to you again next week.
Another divorce, just a few hundred grand.
And so, my friends, we'll say good night. For time has claimed his prize. But tonight can always last as long as we keep alive the memories of past.